Greetings, magnificent souls, to the Lily Bewley podcast, where we have open and honest discussions about ourselves. This is your host, Lily Bewley, and I'm honored to have conversations here with thought leaders, visionaries, healers, and even solo conversations with myself about the things I am currently reflecting on. This is a place where we break down, break away, and break through our emotional trauma, allowing ourselves to attract health, build wealth, and live a peaceful life. We are tired of being sick and tired. We are tired, but we are not giving up. We know that there is something magnificent inside of us. But because we are fighting daily, hourly, and by the minute, fighting ourselves, our kids, our spouses, we have to do things differently. We have to break the cycle. We don't have a million chances. We have to be happy now. We have to find a way. So how do we do that? How is that possible? If you look around at what society is telling you, they tell you that what we're doing is impossible. Yet it's happening every single day. And it's happening through the practice and the love that we call awakening the magnificent soul. We are all magnificent souls, and these are our stories of healing. Today in episode 76, I welcome Jessica Mann to the show to chat about surviving trauma, falling in love with herself, and stepping into her purpose. And don't forget to let me know your thoughts about this episode or anything you would like me to cover on future podcasts at epiphanyvault.com. Remember, it is a safe place and I would welcome the discussion. And also a request, if you are enjoying the show, please rate it and share with anyone that you feel would enjoy it as well, so that we can get the word out to more and more souls who want to heal, who want to step into purpose, who want to love, and who want to transform. And now on to the show for today. My guest today, Jessica Mann, is most known for surviving horrific abuse at the hands of Harvey Weinstein and reliving the trauma by testifying against him for 3 days. He is now serving a 23-year prison sentence thanks to Jessica and many other courageous women who came forward. Today, Jessica is on a mission to redefine the image of a victim and show that we are all capable of transformation and healing. I hope you enjoy this episode with Jessica Mann. Jessica, welcome to the podcast. I'm so honored to have you here.
Me too. Thank you so much.
Yes, my pleasure. My pleasure. Well, I really wanted to start off with the opportunity for you to introduce yourself to my listeners. Some people may know who you are, some people may not, but I really would love you to give you the space to say hello and introduce yourself and maybe why you're here as well.
Yeah. Well, hello everyone. I am so excited to be a part of this. And I am sort of known for my infamous trial against Harvey Weinstein. And he is currently in prison, serving time for raping me and one other woman named Mimi. So that's kind of how I guess I got heard of, because before that I was probably only in a couple horror films, like a little Disney show, some commercials, things like that when I was in the acting industry. So that's probably the most concise way to introduce myself. Although I do like to say for people, because I'm assuming there's a lot of survivors that possibly listen to this. I don't like to identify as a victim or a survivor. I love to identify as myself. So I am Jessica Mann, but that is some context for who I am.
Yes. I don't know if I just felt an energetic shift and a nice tingling sensation from the universe when you said that. So I appreciate that. I feel like that it is kind of a courageous step, right? To not identify with the stuff that's happened to you.
Wow, that's a really good way to put it. It is. It's not a step that I think a lot of people have talked about or have really seen kind of out there in the mainstream, but it is a process that I think is so important. I mean, acknowledging the trauma has to happen before you can get here, but this is so important that we help guide people to this place.
Yeah. And I know we'll get into this for sure, but I know that you're doing some amazing work right now surrounding this, which is like so evident of, you know, it's such a, like a shining beacon of your healing journey, which I'm hoping to talk about today as well, but it is really such a, it's a powerful thing to have a voice, you know, it's a powerful thing to, And I'm speaking from my experience too, which I do have some past and sexual trauma as well. But to look back on that old self, cuddling her and being loving to that person, but also stepping into this new identity, for sure.
I understand that so Ooh, well.
Yes, yeah, so good, right? So awesome. Tingly. Yes, yeah, so tingly. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, as we were mentioning, we were talking earlier that I really love to talk about the transformation. Like, I'm all about the transformation. I started here in 2018, really on the victim end of things about codependency and all the stuff that had happened to me. But I've grown since, and a lot of people have been with me since that, that transformation that I'm going through and on that road. Can you talk a little bit about your transformation from, these things that happened to you and where you are now, having the courage to speak up, doing all of these other amazing things in the world? Like, how has that transformation been for you in that healing process?
Yeah. It's such a
And don't even try to sum it up, because I know it's like such a big idea. Yeah, yeah. No putting you on the spot, but it is like, I feel like when people get stuck in their trauma. And I think that, and again, there's no blaming or anything like that, but I think that it's sometimes in our journey, if we can just help people add just a little bit of space, to be an example and to kind of talk about what we've been going through. I think it's super helpful.
Absolutely. So I guess for me to maybe answer that, I have to kind of go back to the beginning and in that point of darkness, right? And there's many points of darkness. Some people call them dark nights of the soul. Some people rock bottom, and for me, I was going through those moments every day, and at the height of some of my trauma, which I would say was waiting for the trial to happen. At that point, I was facing everything in my past up until that point. And it's one thing to live in relationship to our trauma where we ignore it, or we kind of keep it back there. But to really challenge it, to face it head on, and for me to even go to trial against someone who had hurt me so bad.
Yeah.
It was an unknown, right? And the unknown is always, initially, our relationship to that is very terrifying, because it's just how the brain works. It's how our self-protecting mechanisms come in. And so I would say the point of transformation started in the unknown, number one. I was becoming so traumatized at that point. Like, I was having flashbacks every night. I was having severe PTSD. My health was tanking. And I would say I was lucky enough to have someone in my life that I saw who had also been traumatized, like into their childhood and things like that. And they had eventually developed to a point of being severely handicapped mentally. And I was in part also helping to caregive to this person. And they were at the point where I knew so clearly. I was like, this is going to be me if I don't find an answer. Mm-hmm. And I get emotional over it.
Please. You're safe here.
Yeah. Thank you. And I think so many of us that are survivors or struggling or in this place of trauma, like, we aren't always, and I say gift, given that gift of seeing where that path's going to take us, because we're living moment to moment. We're in the cycle. We're repeating the cycle. We're in it again. And we're constantly struggling. Mm-hmm. We don't understand the toll that takes on us long-term, much less even understanding our mind, but the impact of how repeating a cycle, it tends to, enable it more, right? So I had this example of someone before me. And I happen to be a very spiritual person. I grew up religious, but I'd say the universe. I follow my heart. I'm very heart-centered in how I live. And so it's not that I necessarily had the relationship with the God that I was taught to believe in, that I was raised with, but I did have a relationship with consciousness or source or something that I knew was bigger than me that loved me. And I did not know what the path was to healing. I didn't know if it was even possible. I had no example of anyone I could think of where I was like, okay, there's a hope for my future that I can thrive in my life. I just didn't see it anywhere. And I was at this point in my journey where I couldn't leave my house. I couldn't go downstairs in my own house. I had three different security cameras. I was so afraid for my life. That's how, just to give you a tiny picture of how crippled I was mentally and emotionally at this point. And so I didn't even know how I was going to go out into the world and find an answer, right? I literally only had YouTube, the internet. And so I put it out there in my heart. I just made this cry. I said, I have the contrast so clearly that I know I do not want to become this version of the path that I'm on right now, with my health and my mental space, but I don't know what the unknown is. So however, whatever comes to me, universe, God, bring me on that path. Right. And soon enough, so I opened up to that, right? You have one, to start transformation, you have to open a possibility, even if you don't believe it's possible.
Yes. Yeah. So we should let that sit for a minute. Okay.
One.
Yes. Okay. Okay. Let's go. That's so good.
Yeah. So once I did that, the universe was able to start bringing things in my path, even though, like I said, it was the only resource I had was the internet. So, I started out and I found Dr. Joe Dispenza. Mm-hmm. And, that was the answer for me at that point in my life. Like, that was definitely the step I was ready for. That was information I was ready for. And I loved that he combined the things that I love about my spirituality or beliefs or meditating with the science background. And the way that he would talk about what the brain would do, I began to formulate somewhat of my own, I would say, theories of, okay, he's describing this in the mind. I'm experiencing this. This is making sense to me.
Yes. Apply.
Yes. So I was able to, one tiny little step at a time, number one, be able to write out my flashbacks, not fear. Cause if you've ever had a flashback, it can be the most terrifying thing. It's like two different realities. It's like all these different mm-hmm. sensations. There's many different ways of flashbacks. There's, you know, there's the visual ones, and then there's the audio or the sensation ones. So being able to calm that down just one little piece at a time, you know, that information in my life started to empower me. Then I started to meditate and I started to take action in the little bit of information that crossed my path. And that's like a huge thing in and of itself, but I began to have hope. I began to believe in the possibilities, and I was now given a system and a formula for that. And so I've had other modalities come my way since. But even to the point when I still took the stand, I wouldn't say that I was where I was at today. I was still in the midst of transformation. I was still taking two steps forward, one step back. But I was, again, the key being open to that possibility and seeing little shifts. And then there came a point where I think you have moments of breakthrough when you decide to set a course, right? Even though I didn't know where I was going to end up in that course, and in these moments of breakthrough have put me where I'm at today, and I'm mm-hmm. still transforming, but so much of my life is under control. You know, I've done work. I don't know if you know who Mastin Kipp is. I've worked a lot with him as well. And such a beautiful next step to build off my work with Dr. Joe, create freedom in my body, things like that. So I feel like I'm rambling at this point.
No, this is perfect. You know, what's funny about Mastin Kipp is I call him, cause I work with him as well. I'm part of one of his programs. I like to call myself Mastin Kipp stick instead of Mastin Kipp stick. He doesn't know that yet, but if he listens, he will.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, he's been transformational for me as well.
Yeah. So I know I can trust the universe. Like, all right, whatever the next step is for me, that's going to come, even though we're still in the unknown. I mean, that, like, the things I know collectively, like we're dealing with COVID right now, it's terrifying. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
but there is possibility for moving forward, you know,
totally
transforming our health even. Like that's another thing. I don't have to be a victim to this unknown, which is something that like spirit's working on me right now, because I just actually had Corona or COVID or whatever we call it.
Yeah.
So, and that was another lesson for me, right? Of transforming my victimhood and my health. So,
Oh yeah. Yeah. We could go so many different ways right now, because I feel the same way, is that, during my dark night of the soul, and the way that you described it is so perfect, because it really resonated with me in that, I knew that there had to be something different. Like I knew, I don't know, like, again, like I didn't know what that was. I didn't know what it looked like. I didn't know like anything. There's no control. But you know, it was a place of really, really deep desperation, right, for myself. And so that spark, that was the only thing that I could kind of like grasp onto. Like, this cannot be the way that it's supposed to be. Like, it cannot be. Yeah. I totally feel that. Yeah.
Hey, and you know what is amazing? I find I didn't see my parents. They didn't have this. It's like they had the wonder of possibility, but they never chose it for themselves. And so I feel blessed. Like, you know, we did, like, I grew up with the internet. I had like things like this that, you know, whatever we're evolving consciously, even as humanity, like I'm feel so blessed to be in this place where we can imagine possibility. Mm-hmm. And whatever's in our heart that we learned, like so many of us are taking that chance on that step.
Totally. Yeah. If you'd like, I'd love to go back a little bit to step one. Because I feel like that for, I feel like, again, that's the hardest step I feel like people to take. I don't know if you agree, but I feel, cause I've been in this space actually, you know, for a year and a half. So not that long, you know, like helping people and facilitating. But that move from like victim to the courageous goddess warrior. Yeah. Right. Let's go. Yeah. But like, but you know, like that, I just feel like it keeps people stuck. So I don't really have a question other than if you want to like chat about it, but I think like that step one is so important. And like, I know that I thought that was just like, I thought the shit life that I was in, that was my lot in life. Like it was just stuff that I had to deal with. Like I had to keep dealing with bullshit from people, or I had to, you know, stay in this hole. I couldn't ask for what I wanted, or I didn't know how. So I just gave up, you know, there's so much stuff. Right. But I think like moving from, it's like something happens where like the victim to courage, just to do whatever, you know, like that next step, getting to step two from what you're talking about. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah. One, and I just, for some reason, this is coming up to say, I listen a lot to Abraham Hicks. And so I think that helped prime me to be in a place to make a decision. Number one, like just those types of messages that, you know, you are so powerful. You're such a creator, and what you believe is actually true. So I really started to think, all right, if I believe something different, is there a possibility that could become true? But, I think even jumping there is still a little too far ahead from step one. So let me say something about courage. Courage, it's not a feeling. It's not an emotion. It's not this thing God bestows upon you. It is literally a destination. And for me, courage meant getting on that stand. And there are times I fought that destination so hard because I was so afraid of it, but I knew that I was going to go there. So I always tell people, one, you have to imagine where you want to be. If that's just, you want to take it 1 week ahead, you want to take it to the potential new future you, you want it to just be a goal, like choose that goal, which is that destination. And courage will then come to get you to that place, but is nothing about feeling. So I would say to someone in their darkness, like, where do you want to be? And make the choice to go there. Even if you don't know how, like the things will start to line up. And you might resist it, you might fight it, but you're just literally going to a destination.
That is courage.
For me, it was.
Yeah. No, I like, I mean, I think that like I had this thought maybe, I don't know, a little while ago about like courage is like the elixir of healing. It's like the, for me, it's like the, it's the thing that you throw on the fire to ignite it. And it really, you know, it only comes from us. That's the thing too.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think, you know, for me, when I made that choice, you know, even though I regretted some of it, like at times, you know, I like how you use the analogy of an elixir, because it's true. Like there are moments where, you know, my soul made this choice, right? And it can bring moments of empowerment. It can bring moments of joy. It can bring the strength to get you there. But I still say you got to know where you're going, you know?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for sharing. It's so beautiful.
Oh, you're welcome. I just hope I'm articulating enough for people.
Totally are. Hey, you know, the universe feels heart. So I feel heart. So
love that.
Yeah. So I'd love to hear a little bit of, like, we talked about transformation. It's been, you know, I'm sure again, like we're all a work in process or progress or whatever it is, which I love personally. You know, I love that there's always new layers for growth. But what do you, you know, what did you kind of learn about yourself through this transformation process? Anything that we haven't covered or,
that's like a big one. It is. And I wish I could put it in one little thing, but you kind of, a lot of this journey is about reconnecting to yourself. And I think, and for me, it's been about connecting to my heart, right? There's my inner child. There's all these aspects of myself that, especially, you know, in my case as well, I had childhood sexual abuse. Like it causes a fracturing in you, and so it's a reclaiming and a reconnecting to all aspects of myself, and falling in love with yourself is so contrary to what we were almost taught, because there's this idea of being selfish, right, or all these things, but it's even weird for me to say it, but I've learned how magnificent I am without that being no ego involved. It's just like, wow. And as I see my magnificence, I can see that depth in every other human being. And it's like, we're so beautiful. We're so creative. We're so free in some ways that maybe we may not see it. Like, and I find that learning about myself like that, learning to love myself, it's like, it's kind of what it's all about at the end of the day. And you just
oh
start
my God.
People.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've also learned that it's so subjective. Like your my definition of love to myself is different than your definition of your love to yourself.
Yeah.
And I feel like that, like, I don't know, it's like this homecoming process, right? Of like you're saying, like all these different parts being fractured, but that's actually a book project that I'm working on right now, is helping people define what self-love is for them. Because we see like shit on Instagram, we see, you know, like there's so much just like outside things that for, you know, society or family or boyfriend or whatever it is, tell you that this is what you need to do to feel love. But it's like, I don't know, the inside out approach, I'm like, obviously I'm all about that shit, you know?
I love what you said. And I want to build on that really quick, which is, oh crap.
I'm guilty of the same thing too. Don't worry.
Oh, so for me, a part of my journey of learning how to love myself was defining a sense of purpose. And I want to be very, very careful with this word. The reason I want to be careful with this word is because I also have religious trauma. My religious trauma in my upbringing was very much like, your purpose is solely to serve God, save souls, And you are a sinner. So the whole premise of my life was based on this concept that I'm worthless. I'm nothing without Jesus. And this is nothing against religion for people who are religious. It's just, this is a part of my journey. So I just want to, I'm not yeah. bashing religion. So the word purpose, I cringe a lot at, because, you know, it was a system in how I had my upbringing that was a type of programming for me that defined my worth only by certain boundaries. But Masson actually helped me learn, you know, and create my purpose, which my purpose in life for me, what is so meaningful is to be free and inspire others to love themselves. And so when I fall in love with myself and when I find what I want, it's for me, because what I align with is creating freedom in my life, I'm now able to really measure situations, measure what I do, measure my choices by, does this make me feel free and able to express my love? And that has really helped me learn how is best to love myself by finding that thing that gives me purpose, which is, for me, it's freedom. And so, someone who especially has had so much trauma, sexual abuse, all these things, right? Everything was constantly like trapping me. So it makes sense to me that I resonate with the word freedom, you know, and it's going to be different for everyone else. Like you're saying, helping them find right. that.
Yeah, totally. Can you say your purpose again? Just
yes.
Put it out there. I just want to hear it again.
My purpose is to be free and help inspire others to love themselves.
Woo. Y'all, this is Jessica. Her purpose is to be free and inspire people to help them love themselves. Yes.
Yes.
That deep. That's so good. And Thank you're you. Right. Like the, again, like that purpose thing, definitely same, raises hand, you know, to the religious bullshit. Sorry, you know, like, again, if that's triggering for anyone, I'm saying this from my experience and Jessica sharing hers. But same thing for me too, is that what I've been calling it lately, like transforming our pain into purpose, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, like moving from this, the craziest thing that I've learned about this is that the deepest depths of our pain, and we don't even have to heal them all the way. They don't have to be healed. The hole doesn't have to be covered up. You know, there's no like final journey that we have to be at. If we're just a couple of steps ahead of someone behind us, then we can have purposeful intention about that. Right. And the depths of our healing can really, really help others that are just not there yet. And it's just so, I don't know, it's just so fulfilling for me to think about that.
I also love that you say it's not about like filling the hole, because I used to probably get stuck in that trap, right? I got to work on therapy. I got to solve the problems. I got to do all these things inside of myself. And it was constantly focused on what's wrong with me, what's wrong with me. Whereas I stepped into a different worldview of, you know, like focus on my expansion, focus on my, like what, you know, finding what I love through my freedom and expanding in all these ways almost fills that or brings it into wholeness without having to like, you know, search for something to fill the void. Cause I had that void in me for a long time, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And we'll get into it in a little bit, kind of what's that transpiring your purpose is, but I love, obviously, like I can obviously talk about this for years. So I appreciate you. can we talk a little bit about neuroscience? I know we talked a little bit about that. And I know, cause Dr. Joe's, I haven't taken any of his classes, but he was major for me too, about, the way that, you know, this pattern that I was running of like unhealthy relationships or, you know, fill in the blank. It was pretty much everything at that time. It was, you know, repeating that cycle. But what do you like about neuroscience and what gets you excited about it? And what do you like to talk about with that subject?
Oh man, I wish I could spitball like Dr. Joe.
I know.
I couldn't get that.
No judgment here. No judgment here.
Yeah. It was, I would say, you know, for me in particular, because I shattered all of my trauma, my brain, I almost had like a type of brain injury from all this PTSD, like that I'm still trying to heal. I just one really wanted to understand what was happening to me. And I started to realize like, you know, I have these habits of thoughts, right? And the way that Dr. Joe explains being addicted to like certain emotions or creating these thoughts and these cycles, like when someone gave me that formula that told me, hey, this is literally what's happening in your brain, it was so freeing for me to be able to now know that, like, because I remember when I was in high school, like they did not know about neuroplasticity. Like that wasn't a thing. Your brain's your way it is and you're stuck with it, right? And then all of a sudden now I've learned I can actually change my brain. And that's the most exciting thing to me. It's like my brain influences my whole body. It influences my world, influences the lens that I look at through things. I have the power to shape this. Like, it's like being superhuman. I mean, literally, you want to program, hack, evolve your brain. Like I feel like we're unstoppable and we're just starting to like kind of understand this scientifically.
Yes.
So for me, it is a subject of unlimited possibility. Number one, I think that's why I love it. And number two, it was something that really normalized me where I was at the each stage of healing, each stage of transformation, right? Like, so I wasn't overwhelmed by it. I had peace of mind that, okay, like this is how my brain is right now. This is what it's doing and this is where we can go, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think just the power that you're saying is that like the old way of thinking is that, oh, you're fucked. You know, like you can't change anything. Like, you're born into this family. You're going to repeat the same patterns of the parents and your, your parents in the past, and which was the old way of doing things.
Right.
But now, and it's so true because like to lend a little bit of space to people that are listening and maybe explain a little bit more about like generally about what we're talking about is that when we do the same thing again and again, the patterns get deeper and deeper in our neural pathways, right? Would you agree that would be a good way to explain it? Okay. So like if we keep noticing different behaviors or different thoughts coming up, it's really a matter of that's what we're used to. Like, it's almost like a groove, like a bike tire groove in the mud. Like the more that you go across it, the deeper it gets. But the new science is that you can actually create new neural pathways. It's not like something that you do once, but it's repeated patterns again, or repeated exercises or whatever it is again and again to start towards something new. Like, it's not, you know, we are in a very, what's the word, like quick fix society. It's not something you could just take a pill yet. Who knows? But, you know, you know, so just to kind of lend a little bit of context to what we were talking about, but it is like, so it's just, it is so empowering because we really actually do have the ability to change. And we see this like in sports, like if you ever, you know, in sports and you learn how to dribble a basketball, it's like, you don't just get it like off the top. It's like, you learn your brain pathways learn just as well as your muscles do too. So,
well said.
Yeah.
Well
yeah.
Said.
I just want to lend a little bit of context because I know we could probably dive real deep and real dorky pretty quick.
So. Oh yeah. I can. Yeah, so bad. I also want to say too, cause like and when I say the brain, I probably extend that a bit into the whole nervous system because there has been some work, especially being a trauma survivor and sexual assault survivor, like, you know, some of the work I did with Mastin, like I had a lot of that fascia that stored my trauma. So doing a lot of fascial release actually instantly helped change my brain too. So they're so interconnected, but it's like, man. And for me, a couple of those things, they were instant. It was like an instant rewiring or an instant release. And some things it's not, like some things I've had to meditate on stuff for quite a while. And you know, I've experienced that, like you can feel your brain changing. And when you start to just taste how powerful, like the body can be, the body and the mind, that we've never been taught these things. We've never been taught how to regulate even just our nervous system. I mean, you feel so empowered, and that's
totally
what I want everyone to experience.
same. Well, we have probably maybe 10 or so minutes left. So I wanted to really, really highlight where we're going.
Yeah.
So we kind of caught you up with your story until now. And I know that you're working on some really amazing stuff. I was wondering if you could share a few of those things, and we can chat about it a little bit, and then we can kind of close up with how people can find you.
Yeah. So I'd say the biggest thing that I am working on is the consent bill, and we're really pushing that in the state of New York. And for me, defining consent is so important, and it's something that in order to heal, you have to understand what consent is. Like, you know, I would say this ties into my bigger mission of redefining the image of a victim, because one, everything we've seen on TV is so limited. And it's actually the rare percentage of types of victims, especially with sexual assault. And no one wants to identify with that. So I think a lot of people don't speak up or address their trauma because one, they didn't think they'd be believed in this world. Two, you're literally saying, oh yeah, I'm saying that I was like that image of what the world saw, which was the girl who was so innocent and had the man jump through a window with the knife, which I know that happens, but that's not the majority of types of sexual assault situations. You know, most people have had some sort of relationship or dynamic or knew their perpetrator just to start off the gate, you know?
Right.
So defining consent for me really helped me heal, and understanding that there is this responsibility that is due on the perpetrator, and victims, we tend to take 100% of the responsibility. And that's even where some stuff failed me in my healing journey, right? Because I just thought, well, spiritually, I have to take 100% for responsibility for my life, but I didn't know how to change my life either, right? So I wasn't making abusers and perpetrators accountable in my life. It's very important. So the new world, people always say, like, where do we go post Me Too and all this other stuff? Like, it's so good we're having conversation. It's so good that we're normalizing this stuff. But the pendulum needs to kind of land somewhere. And in a world that legally defines and holds accountable consent, because consent is not just sexual. It's your medical rights. It's a business agreement. It is anything that you agree to that someone can't fraud you in, or they can't coerce you in, or they can't do certain things and then say they have your consent. So I'm probably rambling, so I'm not directly defining it, but that is the biggest thing I work on in law right now, so we all can have a better future, because I think one for our future.
Yeah. This may be a mundane question, but I genuinely don't know, so hopefully you'll entertain this, but what's consent defined as right now?
I wouldn't say it's not defined. Like, people, it's not defined in penal code and law. So for example, in my trial, when the jury asked the judge to define consent, the judge could not answer them. He literally said, use your common sense. Well, that is absurd.
Wait, let that sit. And not only that's a freaking form of judicial gaslighting.
Oh, it's
okay. Sorry. I just got angry. Now I'm back.
You're kidding. Like, I had to not even for just for me, not just for victims, but for anyone who is accused of sexual assault or has committed sexual assault. Like, there has to be that standard for both parties. Right. Mm-hmm. So consent is freely given, knowledgeable, and informed agreement. And then there's a subsection of that, which is, it basically says you cannot induce that through fraud, coercion, violence, things like that. So, you know, my perpetrator, Harvey, for example, you know, he coerced many women that have come forward. And I'm not going to speak about my story, but I'm going to speak about other ones that are in the public. And, you know, a lot of them talk about coercion. Well, he wasn't held to that standard necessarily, because the judge didn't define that. It was just like, use your common sense. So the jury had to decide, yeah, we believe that he coerced, or he committed violent things, and, you know, all that stuff. So long story short, we need this in law. I mean,
yeah,
you have to have the definition. It's just crazy.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. Like, how do you protect? I mean, like you're saying, and I am by no means, you know, very well versed in that side of things, but I mean, like, yeah, how do you protect people if we don't know what that means? It's like boundaries, you know, like I'm pretty well versed in boundaries, you know, but yeah.
Well, and this is why most people like I'm so lucky to have even gotten to the courtroom, and why so many victims never get there, because it's been the victim blaming. There's been no responsibility on the perpetrator for the malice of his behavior or hers, because
Right.
it doesn't matter. So, this really just creates fairness, in my opinion.
Totally. Yeah. So you're working in the state of New York, and I'll have a link in the show notes to your, there's a signature petition out right now, correct?
There is a petition. I think the biggest step, because we just went through like phase one with a bunch of legislators or something, we do need, at some point, we'll need people to write letters or emails to senators and people like that. I usually get the game plan like when it comes up. And I work with Joyce Short, who's amazing. She's really good at the like just how it works in government. But yeah, so the petition definitely helps. But then if you want to be a part of that, we can contact you when the next phase comes up, where we really need to ramp up like letters and vocalizing. This is so important.
Yeah, it is big. Yeah. Thank you for that. And I also, what else are you working on? Helping people heal from grief? You have something coming up with that. Do you want to kind of spill the beans?
So I'm so passionate about this. I created a product, and so a lot of people don't know this, but my dad has died, and while I was awaiting trial, my second mother was murdered, and so there was like more trauma on top of trauma, and losing her was it was it felt like God took away the one person in the world that truly unconditionally loved me. So I dove into this darkness with that, right? And long story short, I ended up creating him. It's just a little card deck. It's a game called Remember Me. It's not a game. It's a tool called Remember Me. And so I'm finalizing some of the print work on that. But what it does is it really helps keep the memories of that person alive.
Oh, it's
And
cool.
yeah, so it's like a game for you can get the family or friends together. And I keep saying game, and it's not a game. But yeah, so it's kind of this tool that just really helps us remember the little details about that person, because no one's truly gone unless they're forgotten. And when you bring everyone together, it's a really healing space to just
Yes.
share their memories or celebrate their life, really. And that was a key to healing to me, is like they're not, I don't believe that they're just gone. I believe that they're just in a different form of life, right? And how do I keep connected to that? So
Yeah.
that helped me a lot.
Oh, that sounds so beautiful, because I feel like grief is one of those under the rug things that society doesn't, it's not cherished, and I really do believe the same thing that you believe, is that, like, just healing that. And I think that when grief transforms, it like transforms into guilt or shame, or
Yeah.
like, if it's not fully, grieved. So
You
that's
carry it.
beautiful, beautiful. Yay.
So much.
Yeah. So what else is are you working on? We're kind of closing up here a little bit, but I do want to give you space to kind of to close it off. Anything that we missed that you feel like that was important? And then also, where can people find you as they follow your journey?
Yeah. So, I want to just thank everyone who's listening. There's so much that we could talk about. I mean, we could do this five more times and really uncover so many new things. And I applaud every one of you for your courage, one, to just invest in yourself, like through things like this podcast. Like that's so important, is choosing to invest in yourself. So thank you. And I'm still learning. I am still on my journey. And right now I'm really just on Instagram. My Instagram is Jetterby. Like, I don't know. I'm pretty responsive when people reach out. And I hope to do more. I'm opening myself up to the universe to, I would love to do a documentary. I would love to maybe write something. And I've just been so focused on my healing. But I understand that, you know what, a lot of you need guidance too, because I didn't have that guidance. So I do want to be a light for people. I want to forge through all of this mess, right? And get to that. All those destinations along the way, and say, look, you can come here, and you can come here, and you can come here, and you can be free. Because that, me helping people find their freedom, that is my purpose and goal for everyone listening.
I love that too. And I love that it, it's possible. It's like you're not alone. I feel like that's like an underlying message is that we are not alone and it's okay to ask for help. If you I'm going to just add a little ad lib here, but like the thing that we don't talk about a lot is that it takes us like having a team sometimes or like reaching out for help and like, I don't want people to get to that like really desperate point. But I understand, but wherever you are, there are resources available for sure. So.
And last thing I'll say is, and this is something I had to learn because I did it all on my own, right, for so many years.
Yeah, same.
The most successful people, they always have coaches or mentors. And
Yes.
apply that to my trauma. I was like, oh, now I can really level up my life and
Yes.
embraced it.
That
So.
is true. That is true. We do we celebrate these single individuals that rise into fame, but right, you're right behind them is a whole team of people. So, and we all deserve that, really, I think so. Cool. Well, it's been such a pleasure.
Thank you
Thanks for
so
joining
much.
me. Yeah,
Yes.
absolutely.